Hey everyone, this is Austin Schur here with We Write About Music, and today I'm speaking with No Fly List. They've just released their debut single. It is called Ghost, and I'm super excited to talk to them all about it. I want to thank you all so much for being here today. How are you doing? What's going on?
Pretty good, man. Thanks for having us. How are you?
Thank you for being here. I'm doing great. It is truly an honor to get to speak with a band who has a great song out, and like I was just saying before we started recording, it's fantastic. I've listened to it so many times at this point, and I'm not blowing smoke at you when I say, like, this is the type of music that I enjoy in my life. So it's really a pleasure to get to speak with people who make music up my alley. That's why I'm really excited to talk to you all about it. The first thing that I'd love to know is that I find that this song has a lot of meaning behind it in terms of like the message. And I know that obviously things are always up for interpretation on that end. So I'd love to hear from you, like, what inspired the making of this song?
Aleem, do you want to
Yeah.
start this one?
Yeah, I'll take it. I kind of brought this idea when the band kind of formed, and my verse and my perspective is basically about a relationship that's kind of naturally and mutually coming to an end. You're kind of hashing out the frustration, the disappointment, but also
Been
kind of
there.
realizing that something that's good can come to an end and it's okay. And it's kind of just processing what comes next after that. And then Emma added a great verse, so she had a great take on it as well.
That's awesome. Truly could not have come at a better time in my life than right now. So I appreciate,
Really?
oh, totally. I will not get into it, but I will say that listening to the song, I was like, do they know what's happening in my life? Or is this song just, am I just reading the words differently? So I've actually found this song to be like a piece of comfort. And I hope that other people will find it to be relatable as well, because it's a difficult subject to talk about. Everyone's got a different perspective on it. Do you find that your separate experiences came together to write the song, or is it from, I guess, one person's story?
Yeah, I would say my take, my verse was from a relationship that kind of went sour. And Emma, I'll let you take your half.
Yeah, so I mean, my favorite thing is just writing stories. So
Yeah.
my lyrics don't necessarily, match something that actually happened to me. I love being an observer. I love taking stories from people around me.
Nice.
So, I was inspired by Liam's story and it came together really well and really quickly.
No, that's awesome. And I always say, like, the things that actually happened always come together musically the quickest. When you don't have to manufacture a story or make up things and kind of put yourself inside the shoes of someone else who doesn't exist, that's when it doesn't happen. But yeah, the lyrics, I mean, yeah, they're just really powerful, and I promise I'm not just saying that.
Oh, that means a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome. Another thing that I immediately notice is it's the buildup of this song. It starts off super emotional and it's very vocals forward until the instrumental kind of kicks in. And I find that adds such a beautiful punch to the song. Right about the halfway point, and I don't want to spoil for too many people, but it just blossoms into this beautiful thing. Do you find that kind of the experience mirrors the tone of the song?
100%. Do you want to?
Yeah, well, so the way this song came together, it was actually one of the first times we all as a band were in the room together. It was late night. We had rehearsals the next day, and we were just kind of playing around. And Aleem started strumming a guitar and singing what would end up becoming this chorus.
Nice.
And I was sitting at a piano, and our guitar player John picked up a guitar, and we kind of just started hopping into, like, really spontaneously, like, arranging around Aleem's little lyrical hook. And then it kind of super organically just grew into what it was.
Yeah.
And then the bridge, which is, I know you don't want to spoil it too much, but the bridge, which is like the culmination, I guess, just from a dynamic standpoint of the song, was like me and the guitar player and Aleem and Emma looking at each other like, yeah, and then we'll go here. We all were just like, yup, here, and
Yeah.
then we'll go here. And it was like, we were like channeling more
That's
than like writing.
okay.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're in a band right there.
Yeah.
I will say it's extremely rewarding because the song kind of just wrote itself. And
that's awesome.
We literally put not that much effort into it. It kind of just blossomed organically. So
It was great. I mean, there you were like, do you have a verse? And I was like, give me a sec. And I walked away for like 10 minutes and came back with the verse. Yeah. Because it was the song was there. It needed words with it.
Yeah, we just let it guide us. Mm-hmm. We kind of just were just like, yep, this makes sense. Obviously, we're going to go here.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's the best. Listen, I spend so much time talking to like individual artists who have this vision and they're only proficient on, say, one or two instruments, and they have to, you know, find outside help for the production and the mixing and the mastering and all this stuff. And while it is their vision and it is their song, it's so difficult to like connect with other people and kind of like fill out the back half of it, or really like have that person get in your head and be like, this is what I want. How can you make it happen for me? So for you four, and I know there's one more person, for everyone to be there and kind of feed off of each other and be like, yes, I know what you're trying to do. I know how to complete this. Let's figure this out. Like, oh man, that makes me so happy, because obviously, like, this is the first song that I see on streaming. I'm sure there's more music to come, and it has me excited for other things that were probably finished in a similar way.
Yeah, so like to be clear about it, like a lot of the other music that we have ready to release, you know, along the whole spectrum of all the way finished to, you know, seed ideas that we have like demoed out, a lot of it is a lot more upbeat and dynamically a lot different than this song. This would be like what I'd call like a deep cut, and it's odd that it's odd that it's the first release to be a deep cut, but I think a big part of the reason we chose this as the first release was because it was so organically a team effort that just kind of we all kind of just fell into together. So like that's why we picked a song that's dynamically like, again, a deep cut rather than like emblematic of what our sound might become, you know. It was so natural that we're like, that's a no-brainer, that's like kind of us, that's us.
Nice. I love that. Listen, for me it doesn't feel like a deep cut. It really does feel like this organic creation that just continues to transform and surprise you. It's not the same song at the beginning that it was at the end. And I find that, at least in my like my normal music listening, I get so bored lately of the same structures and just like, not necessarily like the top 40 hits, but just like, you know what's coming next and it's boring. This is everything but that. And I sincerely mean that in like the nicest way. It's something that's just like, damn, it comes together and it hits you, but it's also just like a rocking song at the same. It checks all my boxes in the best way possible, and like I can't pay you enough compliments for it. I really mean it. Another thing is like, for everyone that's going to listen, I would recommend that you listen with a nice pair of headphones or a nice sound system or something that just like really brings out the subtle nuances of the song. I find that the production is crisp and clean and strong, and there's so much happening in the background that you might not notice otherwise. How does it work on the production standpoint? Is it happening in-house? Do you have someone outside helping you? I guess hidden members of the team.
Well, this was recorded piecemeal in I think 4 different cities. I took the reins on production. We tracked guitars in Denver, we tracked Aleem's vocals in Chicago, Emma's vocals in Stanford. We did a lot at people's houses, and then we also rented, you know, proper studio time on top of that. So, you know,
sure.
This particular song was recorded in Ableton Live, Pro Tools, and Logic at some point.
Jeez, the holy trinity of recording.
Yeah, man. So we got a lot of stuff. There is a lot of stuff going on. And it's like layers upon layers of stuff, acoustic guitars, electric guitars, all sorts of stuff, like real piano plus you know, piano in the box. And the answer is we kind of just kept building and building, and I took the reins on production, and then at the very end of the process we sent it off to a guy named Scotch Ralston, who is actually a longtime hero of mine. He did a lot of production and engineering for a band called 311 that was important in my formative years.
Love the same. I think we're probably about the same age. Love 311.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So I mean, I was actually a guitar tech with 311.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so like that's how I met this guy, and he was actually a hero of mine production wise for a while. So the fact that he was going to mix it for us, right? But he ended up taking some reins production wise too, near the end of the process. So it was, you know, mostly me taking the reins with the whole band's input, all of us producing it together, and then Scotch at the tail end of it, helping us really put that final stamp on it. And that's how it went.
Damn, that's awesome. Is he going to be a part of future songs productions, or was this a one-off?
This is one of five songs that we're calling the first EP. We'll be releasing them all as singles, but okay, he's got his stamp on all five songs that are mix ready at this point. That'll be coming out over the next few months. And then, you know, down the line, hopefully he continues to work with us. We're at the demo phase for a bunch more songs now. So
yeah, sure. Nice. Well, I'm excited to hear how that turns out. Awesome. Another thing, and this is again, like the highest of compliments, is I don't think this song necessarily falls into a genre. Obviously, there's rock influences and there's so much else going on, but it doesn't feel like one thing. So it's sort of a two-part question of how are you describing this song and I guess your music, but also was that the plan from the beginning to stay sort of like fluid in what you were making?
I mean, I think there wasn't a plan. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of became what it was going to become, you know?
Okay.
We kind of went with the organic sound that was happening naturally.
I try to tell people that we're un-genre. I know that's not the smartest thing from a branding or marketing standpoint, but, you know, it. Yeah. I guess indie rock is the closest thing to describe it. But
sure.
It's we don't let a genre put guardrails on us.
Good,
some of the
good,
stuff
good.
Coming up gets really, like, heavy. Some of the stuff gets really poppy, and we try not to think like, oh, this is not like our sound or our genre. We're kind of like okay, we're just going to make what is right for the music, and we'll figure out a label later. So,
you know, I fully respect that decision, and I think that's one of the most important things for an independent band at the beginning. If you're only making one type of song, people are only going to expect you to make one type of song. But if you kind of cast a wide net, but it still sort of sounds like you, that's how you get a huge audience. And like I said, this touches on so many genres, and I feel like people who like pop music or rock or experimental music will still find love and something that they resonate in this song. So you can't just say, yeah, you know, we're making rock music. I think going with the ungenre thing is sort of the best thing here, because you can't set your expectations too high for who's going to listen and who might enjoy.
Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, specifically with Emma and Aleem's voices, but also with John's guitar playing and maybe elements of my production and, you know, each musician independently, I feel like everybody has their own kind of sound and voice. And I think that, in my opinion, as like a producer, it I feel like that would be like our sound more than a genre, is like everybody's own independent voice feeding into the actual, like, you know, synergy of a song.
Well, I think it comes from all of our solo projects also coming together. Like Sky does metal as his solo project.
Okay.
You know, Tyler and I co-write a lot of pop. We do some like EDM stuff. Aleem started with pop, and now we're all kind of, and John does a lot of like kind of a solid rock sound. And
yeah, me and John have been making music together for almost half our lives at this point. Yeah. Aleem has a whole career under his belt. Like, we all
to be honest, I would say that it shouldn't work, but it coexisted so well, and it just worked perfectly. So.
We'll see. Okay, for me, not knowing any of that information, it explains so much listening to just one song. And again, we don't need to talk about it too much about future music. I'm going to listen to all of it, but it has me more excited because it's like, well, yeah, I didn't know that you guys literally have different tastes and loves for different things. So what am I expecting from future music? I don't know, but I'm excited about it. And I think that's so important to like kind of carving out something special and unique for itself. If anyone knows, making music in today's day and age is like, if you don't fall into something, like, you're going to get lost into the void. And it kind of doesn't matter here, because you're going to find an audience that likes something that you're making.
Honestly, we're just having fun with it, which is the most important thing.
That's what it's all about. I mean, listen, obviously music is a job. People don't understand, like, the making music part of it is only like 10% of the equation when it comes to the actual business part of it. And it can feel like a job, but at the same time, like, you're just doing what you love. You make music, you enjoy doing that. If you stop having fun in that regard, then like, why are you doing it at all? Mm-hmm. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Love it.
Another thing I'd love to know about is, like, kind of sounds like the process of actually making the song changes from song to song. How does it work within the dynamic of the band and being like, hey, I wrote this verse, hey, I wrote this guitar riff? Or is it like, does one person go off and do one thing and present it to the other?
Yeah, well, so Aleem and I do a lot of top lining. We're the lyric melody people. The majority of that, we get together and we'll have a little piano guitar writing sesh, usually on like FaceTime or something, because, you know, sure. Chicago, New York.
Right.
But and then we'll come up with a little, it's usually like sad and slow, and then, you know, sure. I'll take it to Tyler and Sky and John, and they'll be like, okay, but let's beef this up. And then what'll come out of that is something totally different, but also better. And it's
it holds the identity of what we had. So that's a kudos to Tyler. I mean, he can take something that we bring to him, but also enhance it in a way where it doesn't lose what we initially started with.
Yeah, and likewise, kudos to them, because I can come up with a really nerdy idea that's so far away from anything like accessible or usable, and Emma sure. and we'll just make it like, oh, this could be a beautiful hook that will stick in your brain forever, and just kind of iron this part out here and this part out here. So yeah, it does vary song by song, but it's totally collaborative, and it's sometimes it starts with the melody and lyrics, and sometimes it just starts with like a riff that me and Sky came up with that's recorded on my hard drive, or a song that John wrote a long time ago that we flip on its head or something, you know?
Yeah,
totally. I love that, man, because you can't force a song to happen. And if it happens and it changes, but it still has that originality from that one person, then it's their song. And that's where the band part of it comes in. That's really cool. Just listening to this song, I instantly envisioned it in a live setting. I feel like it would hit so hard in front of an audience that doesn't see it coming. Have you all had the opportunity to play in a live setting yet? And if not, is there plans for that?
We're playing a show on the 21st of March this month.
Our that first show.
Very soon.
Yeah.
First show.
Oh my God.
Well, we've all played together in different projects, different groups of us. Emma and I have been playing together with her solo project, or my solo project, for, I don't know, a decade now. Sky and I have played together forever. Obviously, the two of them have played together forever. Mm-hmm. Me and John have known each other since we were 15 when we did a summer program at Berkeley. We were in high school, then we went to Berkeley together. Mm-hmm. So we've all played together in different capacities. Never in this iteration as a band. This is like a synergy thing.
Yeah. Very cool. Where's the show happening?
It's the Delancey in New York City. Is that East Village?
Lower East Side. Lower East Side. 9:50 p.m., but doors are at 6:30.
We're all right.
On March 21st.
Yeah. Cool. I will make sure to get it added in the article so any New York people can go, or hopefully go if they're available.
Yeah.
That's really soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Are you kidding me? I wish I was in New York. I would be there in a heartbeat.
You're on the list, bro. Come on out.
Well,
come on.
All right. Yeah.
21st. Come on.
Yeah, for real. Yeah. I've got no life, so I'll be right there. Very cool. So we're recording this in the middle of March. Obviously, you've mentioned that there's new music in the works. There's a show that's happening, but there's still, you know, 9 months left of this year. What else is in the works? Or if you don't want to say, what are some goals that you'd like to see happen by the end of this year?
Just continue to write music, release EPs, and hopefully get on the road, tour.
Cool.
Take this project outside of New York and Chicago. And
we spent the last year banking material. So we have a lot of songs that are all the way from completely finished and mixed and ready to release all the way to, you know, just ideas on the hard drive. We have some videos that are banked. We're going to be releasing stuff regularly all year. Just, very you cool. know, singles coming out, music videos, live in the studio videos. We have all that stuff ready to release, and we're just picking the right times throughout the year to release it.
Cool.
It's tough being in different cities and having different gigs. I'm currently teching for Jelly Roll. So
oh, that's no like, way. Okay, that's a yeah, big yeah. deal. You must be super busy.
That's keeping me pretty busy. we make hay while there's sunshine. Well, the sun shines, you know.
So, yeah, man.
We get together and just like make a ton of stuff and bank it, and then we can release it slowly. And then in between, you know, jelly dates, we're booking our shows and mm-hmm. hopefully going to be really starting to hit it live.
That's awesome, man. And listen, wow. you got to have a job. You got to make money. I totally understand. That's the hard part of music, is going full time is a little more difficult than it used to be. So
yeah,
I get it. I have a couple more questions for you, and I wasn't going to ask this, but because you have such different loves for music and genres and different upbringings, is there a record from each of you that has really surprised you from another artist in the last year, or just something that you've really enjoyed that you think other people would enjoy?
Last year.
This is going to be the first answer. Yeah, this is going to be musically insanely diverse.
We have to think other people would enjoy it.
No. For you specifically, something that, you know, from like your genre that you love, that you're like, damn, this artist put in an album that has just been on repeat for me.
Did singers want to go first? And then we'll get wacky with the
singers first
section.
I'm going to be totally honest. I listen to music from like the early 2000s, the 2010s. So it's just whatever comes on shuffle and what I'm feeling that day. So anything from John Mayer, Bruno Mars, 1975. Love those kind of artists. Cool. So, yeah.
All right.
I listen to a lot of Jacob Collier.
All right. Nice.
Lizzie McAlpine. I love the singer-songwriter vibes, but Jacob Collier is less singer-songwriter now. You know, he's just all over the place, and I just love his writing.
I've been listening a lot to Mammoth, Wolfgang Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen's son's project.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Specifically when I'm trying to get into no-flyless mode, because I love the way that he takes like heavy like metal instrumentation and makes it accessible and makes it such that a non-metalhead could listen to it. So that's what I've been immersing myself in.
Cool.
The record I would choose for this year is Xenotaph Part 2, The Singularity by Scar Symmetry.
Hell yeah. Never heard of them, but it's
otherworldly.
Yeah, it's Swedish technical death metal.
Progressive technical death metal.
Swedish progressive technical death metal. Yeah. All right. Didn't think I'd be saying that today.
Say that 10 times fast. Go.
There's a guitar wizard. Yeah, bro.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I will listen to this back in the editing, and I will have it on, and I will hopefully give some positive feedback. But I believe you. Awesome. Okay, those are exactly the answers that I was talking about. Is like, you guys are so different from one another musically, but you come together and you make it work. I guess two more questions, because I just need to know why the band name No Fly List. I was like hesitant even putting it into Google.
I'll start with this. I would say it's a respectful and playful jab towards my ethnicity. So I'm Muslim American. My family migrated from Pakistan. After 9/11, obviously there was a lot of Islamophobia prevalent in our society.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, my family was placed on a brief no-fly list for the fact that our names were very similar to those involved in the attacks. So it's always been kind of this negative connotation, but being the front man of this band, or one of the front mans, and just being proud of who I am, where I come from, it's taking a negative connotation, turning it into a positive. So
and owning it. It works, owning it, you know? And flipping totally. It. Yeah. And on top of that, I'll add the guitar player who's not here is not here because he's an airline pilot.
He's
going to kill us for talking about that.
Right. And on top of that, there is a deeper meaning, which is like, you know, we're all, you know, 10, 15 years at least into music careers. And yeah, we've all independently had extremely close near misses in with like real success. Damn. Coronavirus actually hit us all independently on different projects with like, oh, we have so much momentum, we're getting so close, and then we're just kind of batted down by just bad circumstance.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a play on failure to launch as well, where it's like, it's like, oh man, it feels like we're on some kind of like musical no-fly list, because it's like we get so close and then it just doesn't work. So it's kind of a play on all of those things at once. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. Great answer. I wasn't expecting it, but truly, like, it helps a ton. And like, the name just goes hard, like, truly, like, because you don't know, like, I mean, obviously, like, you hear a band's name, you sort of kind of have an idea of what you might be getting into. I had no idea whatsoever until I hit play and I was like, yeah, no fly list, this tracks, this is great.
Cool.
This is
perfect. Awesome.
So yeah, awesome. Don't change.
Oh, thank you.
My last question for you all is, it's basically, okay, so for the person that is going to discover you from this interview, what is an opening message that you'd like to say to them before they listen to the song for the first time?
Tyler, you take that.
Me? That's an Emma.
No.
Yeah, it's an
Emma. That's an Emma.
Ooh, that's hard. That's a group. I need assistance.
Okay, I'll take the first stab, but you guys gotta chime in. Okay. I think in my head, you know, a lot of us are like trained musicians and we all come from a different musical background. And the idea is we want to make music that makes musicians' ears perk up, but doesn't have the effect that a lot of like nerdy musicians' music has, where people that aren't musicians will kind of glaze over and be like, that's cool for the first 20 seconds. And then be like, oh wow, okay, this is too nerdy for me. We kind of want to hide like really hip and cool music stuff and our musical educations and backgrounds. We want to kind of like sprinkle that into what is really universally accessible music. And then Emma needs to chime in from there.
Yeah. And you know, while the music is complex, it doesn't come across as being like too complex. Like it's catchy. It grips you right away. You know, and the lyrics, we want to keep them relatable and simple while feeling deep.
And the male female split front people also is a thing that is pretty cool, because it's like, I think it's more accessible to everybody because there's a male and a female perspective, but also just speaking purely like sonically, Aleem and Emma happen to have the identical vocal range, one octave apart, and their voices blend fantastically. So it's like just this weird coincidence of fate that the two of them can share the spotlight in a really cool way. And it kind of is a really cool, like, ego-free kind of scenario where the two of them share the spotlight and they're not competing for like me time, you know, out front. They're both like, they both kind of are in awe of one another in a way, and they support each other more than they try to subtract from each other's, you know, like stage time or spotlight time.
And as far as the ungenre thing goes, like, it's accessible to people who like pop, who like rock, who like metal, you know, going into our later songs. But there's just so many aspects of so many different types of music that people can gravitate to. So it's easily accessible while being as complex as it is.
Yeah, it's secretly nerdy.
Yeah.
Secretly nerdy.
Perfect. Perfect answer. Long-winded, but perfect answer. And like, if I was just someone watching this, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, that's a great answer. I'm going to listen. So I'm going to. Awesome. Hey, I want to thank you all so much for being here and for doing this, but please let me plug your music for you one more time before we wrap up. So everyone out there, if you didn't know, I'm speaking with No Fly List. The song is called Ghost. And of course, we'll have the links in our articles that you can listen and share and follow along. If you're in New York, they have a show on the 21st. We'll have that information as well. But again, seriously, this was all, I really enjoyed talking to you all, and I'm so excited for new music. Like, truly, truly 100% honest. I'm so
likewise excited. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. All right, have an amazing rest of your day, and I hope to speak soon.
All right, you too.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Have a good one.
See ya.
Bye, guys.
Bye.